Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In today's show, I'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis as we're currently correcting under $67,000. We'll also be discussing breaking news. Prosecutors want $11 billion judgment and up to 50 years in prison for Sam Bankman-Fried. Also, we're going to be discussing breaking news out of El Salvador, as well as who is Mr. 100 as mysterious Bitcoin whale becomes the 14th biggest BTC hodler. Do you think that could be the nation of Qatar? Do you think that could be Jeff Bezos? I'll be breaking this down for you. We'll also be discussing Grayscale submitting a revised application for their Ethereum spot ETF and what is new. I'm also going to be sharing with you a $300,000 Bitcoin price projection coming from rich dad Robert Kiyosaki, as well as his timeline. And I'll give you a hint, this year in 2024. Also in today's show, $700,000 Bitcoin within the next 12 to 18 months after the 2024 halving isn't just wishful thinking, it's entirely plausible. I'm going to be explaining why, according to Joe Burnett, as well as some insights from Samson Mao. We're also going to be taking a look at the overall crypto market, all this, plus so much more in today's show. But anyways, fam, if you're new to the channel, important to pump that subscribe button to help support the channel family to receive daily premium crypto news alerts every day like this. Also important to pump the likes, to pump the stream. It also helps out tremendously with the YouTube algorithm. Today is pod episode number 1581. I'm your host, JV. It's Saturday, March 16th, 2024, and the market is currently correcting, but at the same time, back in the green, according to Coin360. That's right, we're above 67,600. We also have Ether above 3,600. Yesterday was a pretty significant correction, clearly, as you guys seen. And a few days ago, we tapped the all-time high, which is currently $73,800 on Coinbase. When do you think we re-eclipse this and re-enter price discovery? Holla at your boy. And checking out CoinMarketCap.com, the current crypto market cap sits just under 2.6 trillion with 138 billion in volume for the past 24 hours. Bitcoin dominance at 51.8%, with the Ether dominance at 17% even. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers of the past 24 hours. Good Lord, we have something called the Book of Meme. It looks like Pepe, but it's Boom. Interesting. Up 150% for the day and 2,000% on the week, and now surpassing the $1 billion milestone as far as market cap. Interesting. SUI is up 11%, and Jupiter up 11%. Below that, we have Pith Network, OKB, and Leo. Which altcoins family are you guys most bullish on for this particular bull run? Let me know, fam, in the comments right down below. And checking out the crypto bubbles, clearly Boom leading the pack. As I pointed out, 170% gains on the day here. Jupe 12% and SUI 12%. But as you can see, the majority of the alts are bleeding and in the red, including the new popular meme coin WIF, down 23%. But it has been on a tear, one of the top gainers as far as the altcoins. And checking out the crypto greed and fear index, today we're rated an 81, still in extreme greed. Yesterday, 83. Last week, 84. And last month, a 72 in greed. And I forgot to pull up the Bitcoin halving countdown clock, but safe to say roughly 30 days. It fluctuates from 35 to 40 days. Safe to say it's going to happen in April, towards the middle to the end of April. It's all depending upon the block, but that's why it adjusts each and every day. Anyways, fam, keep the comments a flowing. Let's just dive into some, a little bit of TA. This is coming from Novogratz. The headline reads, Galaxy Digital CEO says Bitcoin unlikely to fall below 55. That's the new floor. I want to know if you agree with that. So here we go. Galaxy Digital CEO Novogratz discussed the possibility of a significant Bitcoin price correction, similar to past market cycles, in an interview on CNBC this Wednesday. Novogratz explained that as long as there is a net inflow into 9 US spot Bitcoin ETFs, the price of Bitcoin is going to keep grinding higher. Shout out to all my grinders. He added that once we have a net outflow from the 9 spot Bitcoin ETFs, you'll see the first real correction. And so I think right now every trader is watching spot Bitcoin ETF inflows. And of course, there's a lot of other inflows and outflows in the Bitcoin universe, but right now that's got the zeitgeist of what people are making their trading decisions off of. And while emphasizing that things are frothy, the funding rates are high. And so in times like this, you always have to be ready.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
For a correction, quoting him here, I don't think we go back below 50 to 55,000. I think that's the new floor unless something dramatic happens. The 9 spot Bitcoin ETFs, which traders are watching, are BlackRock's iShare Bitcoin Trust, which now has over 200,000 Bitcoin, as much as MicroStrategy, and they achieved it in 2 months. We also have Fidelity Wise Origin Bitcoin Fund. We have ARK 21 shares, and the list goes on and on. Last week, Novogratz said he expects Bitcoin to reach 100,000 this year. Can you say 100K? Bitcoin Fiesta, Puerto Rico? Let me know. Citing a runaway momentum in the spot Bitcoin ETFs, we have for the first time ever, anyone who wanted to buy Bitcoin can buy it. We're kind of in price discovery. No, we are. Especially when we hit the new all-time high, which we did probably in the past week or two, three times, which we documented here during our pump watches. And happy 420, by the way, family. It's 420 here in Puerto Rico as well as in New York. So anyways, it's hard to see where things will go, he says. The executive also noted right now there are many more buyers and sellers. Novogratz also shared that this has been a wild ride of an asset. We're in price discovery mode right now. And if you're looking at the charts, you can see 100,000. That could be the target. Tell them. Now, I also want to point out here some breaking news. El Salvador made Bitcoin legal tender, which we all know, bought Bitcoin for their reserves and held it through the bear market, is buying more. And now officially, which Bukele shared just the other day, I broke the news on the pod, they now hold their own keys and coal storage in a vault in El Salvador. Bullish, Mr. Nayib Bukele. We salute you, family. So respect to Bukele and the beautiful people of El Salvador. Dive into our next story of the day and discuss the prosecutors. They want to see SBF in jail for 40 to 50 years and paying, what does the headline read? $11 billion judgment. Now, a week ago or so on the pod, we shared that his defense attorney only wants Sam, I think it was like a modest 3 to 5 years in prison. But of course, the prosecutors want him rotten in prison for the rest of his life. So let's break this one down, family. And I think he's supposed to be sentenced this month, right? Here we go. Prosecutors are asking for a sentence of 40 to 50 years for the former CEO of FTX and convicted fraudster Bankman-Fried, facing up to 110 years behind bars. The 116-page government sentencing memorandum submitted to Judge Lewis Kaplan March 15th recounts Bankman-Fried's activities in detail, focusing on 5 points. Bankman-Fried's scheme to make illegal political contributions, his attempt to bribe Chinese government officials, his banking misconduct, his attempts to deflect blame, and various obstructions of justice. Bankman-Fried was not charged with the illegal political contributions. I wonder why. Because the government of the Bahamas did not extradite him on that charge, nor was he charged with bribing Chinese officials. The memorandum also stated, the defendant has failed to take genuine responsibility for his role in the collapse of FTX and the loss of customer funds. And I think there was over $10 billion in lost funds, right? Bankman-Fried's sentence should be subject to several enhancements due to the severity of the crimes. The document continued. It repeatedly compared Bankman-Fried to Bernie Madoff. For real. Bankman-Fried was a bigger Ponzi. The New York financier who ran the largest known Ponzi scheme at that time, as well as other financial criminals. Now, we also refer to Bankman-Fried as Mini Madoff, but maybe we should call him Biggie Madoff, being it Madoff even bigger, I'm just saying. But it also included four pages of accounts by victims of Bankman-Fried's fraud, of the turmoil caused by the losses and the collapse of FTX. Now, November 2nd, 2023, Bankman-Fried was found guilty of seven charges, two counts of wire fraud, two counts of wire fraud conspiracy. I wonder what the difference is there. I guess just contemplating and planning it with another individual, right? Conspiracy. One count of securities fraud and one count of commodities fraud conspiracy and one count of money laundering conspiracy. His legal counsel asked the court for a maximum sentence of a 6.5 years. He had pleaded not guilty to all the... I wonder how could you plead not guilty when there's just an overwhelming amount of... Everyone knows he did it. Still pleading not guilty is interesting to me. But anyways, this is the conclusion they have here, and here's the breakdown. A sentence of 40 to 50 years will permit the defendant to return to liberty after society can be assured that he will not have the opportunity to turn back to fraud and deceit, but still reflect the seriousness of the defendant's crimes, the prosecutor said. They also asked for $11 billion judgment against him. Well, I guess the million-dollar question is, does he have $11 billion? Interesting. But anyways, a lot of feedback and mixed vibes of across social media. This guy, Billy Binion, wrote, "Sorry, but this is psychotic. I get that Bankman-Fried is wildly unsympathetic, but there is no sane reason taxpayers need to keep him locked in a cage until he's in his 80s. We're totally desensitized to excessively long prison terms in the country." And this was off the back of the news that the prosecutors want him to face 40 to 50 years in prison. Billy also points that the data are very clear that the promise of prison deters future crime, while the length of the sentence has very little effect. So yes, Bankman-Fried should absolutely be held accountable, but we act like a decade in prison is a short little stint. That is insane. So Kaplan is not required to adhere to the government's recommendations, of course, and sentencing is set for March 28th. And that's roughly just 12 days out, family, less than 2 weeks. What do you think will be the consequences of his crimes? Let me know your thoughts in the comments. Now, what JV would like to see beyond Bankman-Fried, I want the handlers who were above him pulling all the strings. Are they complicit? Are they going to jail? Are they going to be at this trial? Or they all get away with it? Because clearly, in my opinion, he's just a patsy. Yes, he is criminal. Yes, he did all these illegal crimes. Yes, he was the CEO. He was the scapegoat. But there's definitely a mastermind of criminals above him pulling the strings. Because, yeah, he's a smart guy, but he's not that smart, right? He's not that much of a super criminal genius to pull this off single-handedly. Would you guys agree or disagree? I'd love to know some of your feedback, thoughts, sentencing, predictions. Anyways, guys, let's dive into our next story of the day and discuss this Mr. 100 mystery, which we're all intrigued about. Who is this Mr. 100? The mysterious Bitcoin whale becomes the 14th biggest Bitcoin hodler on the planet. That's right. The Mr. 100 whale wallet bought at least 1,000 biddies on March 15th yesterday. Wow. Which is 52% of the total 1,907 Bitcoin bought by the 10 spot Bitcoin ETFs, according to an X post by HODL 15 Capital, as pointed out here. This address has been continually receiving Bitcoin since November of 2022, when the FTX exchange collapsed. The wallet has been adding at least 100 Bitcoin nearly every day, family, since February 14th. That's since Valentine's Day. The wallet receives some larger Bitcoin transfers from a secondary wallet address, which has also been adding tranches of 100 Bitcoin since 2019. Can this be Jeff Bezos? What are your thoughts? This suggests that the mysterious whale has been stacking sats since at least 2019, according to HODL 15 Capital, who shared here. What I do know is that this is not one of the US ETFs. I have all those mapped, so we know one thing for sure. It's not a United States ETF. Now, based on the size of the acquisitions, there's speculation the whale could either be a Hong Kong financial institution preceding for their ETFs. It could be the Qatar Investment Authority. There's been rumors they're sitting on a $500 billion sovereign wealth fund looking to convert it into BTC, which we've shared many times here on the pod. And other Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds, maybe out of like Saudi Arabia, you know, the kingdom out there. A gold wallet associated with the South Korean Upbit Exchange, or an unidentified flying object. Just joking. Unidentified address of a tech billionaire. Now, which could be Jeff Bezos. Mark Zuckerberg. There's a lot of billionaires out there. Now, Mr. 100 continues accumulating regardless of the Bitcoin price at near all-time highs, adding 400 Bitcoin on March 12th when Bitcoin traded above the 72,000 mark. And following the accumulation spree, Mr. 100 wallet is currently the 14th largest Bitcoin hodler according to the BitInfo charts data as outlined right here. Now, that's a little throwback to the Nelly days, by the way. The Mr. 100 wallet has been tagged as a coal wallet belonging to the Upbit crypto exchange by blockchain intelligence firm Arcam Intelligence. Based on the blockchain data analyzed by Crystal Intelligence, the mysterious wallet belongs to Upbit. Quoting them here, we have found that the number and the value of transactions associated with this wallet are indicative of a vast type service. Additionally, we can confirm with high accuracy that the incoming transactions originate from Upbit, and these have maintained a consistent value since the collapse of FTX. Now, looking at the wallet's outflows, Mr. 100, imagine it was Bankman-Fried, good Lord, has only been sending Bitcoin transactions to a wallet tagged as an Upbit hot wallet by Arcam's platform, or maybe Gary Gensler. You never know, bro. Most of the transactions were in the tranches of at least 500 Bitcoin, with two of the biggest transactions transferring as much as 3,000 BTC. The analytics team behind Crystal Intelligence confirmed that the secondary wallets also belong to Upbit. Quoting them here, Bitcoin has moved into three major clusters on the outgoing transaction side, and those clusters appear to be connected in subsequent transactions. We also found some evidence that the clusters that receive funds from the one of this address belong to Upbit, so we know it's from Upbit. Thus, the 100 wallet likely belongs to Upbit, argues synonymous on-chain analyst, and also shared the regular movements of 100 Bitcoin are not purchases, but could be Upbit's unique way of managing cold and hot wallet assets. Now, HODL 15 Capital also noted the South Korean entity is stacking large amounts of bitties. In a post referencing the heat map that you can see here on your screen, all of the 14 secondary wallet addresses associated with the main wallet of Mr. 100 have passed your Know Your Customer verification on the Upbit exchange, quoting the analyst again. Mr. 100 uses a small wallet address to buy Bitcoin. I find it very similar to what Upbit usually does with the altcoins on the ETH network. If we follow Upbit's cash flow, we will see the coincidence. So let me know your speculation, fam. Who does this wallet belong to? Let me know. Anyways, family, next story of the day. Let's discuss this Ethereum ETF. The headline reads, Grayscale submits revised app for the Ethereum spot ETF. Here's what's new. According to a recent post by Craig Salm, Grayscale's chief legal officer, the asset management firm has revised its 19B4 form for an Ether spot ETF. Salm claimed that this move was important in an effort for Grayscale to list and trade shares of its Ether Trust on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, the chief legal officer stated in his post that investors want and deserve access to Ethereum via the spot Bitcoin ETF, likening the situation to the Bitcoin ETF story. Quoting him here, we believe the case is just as strong as it was apart for the spot Bitcoin ETFs. The asset manager is amongst the numerous firms looking to issue the first Ethereum spot ETF in the US, having filed an app with the SEC October 10th, 2023. However, these ETF apps have faced delays multiple times, with the most recent coming against BlackRock's filing on March 4th of this year. As a result, the likelihood of the SEC approving an Ethereum spot ETF has taken a nosedive in recent weeks. Once optimistic, Bloomberg ETF analyst Balchunas even revealed in his latest analysis that the Ethereum funds now have only a 35% chance of approval. What are your thoughts? Do you think we see an Ether ETF approved by the SEC this year? What if they use the same argument? Again, It was Grayscale. Thanks to them and their lawsuit against the SEC, it forced Gary's hand, the chairman of the SEC, to finally approve these Bitcoin spot ETFs because they've had futures ETFs, which lead to manipulation in the markets. And so there was no logical reason for the court to deny this. And so they could have a very similar argument. And again, it's Grayscale leading the charge here. So I want to know your thoughts. Now, two U.S. senators of the Democratic Party, Jack Reed and LaFonza Butler from Rhode Island, urged the SEC chairman Gensler to avoid approving crypto investment products. In a letter dated March 11th, the lawmakers, who are also members of the Senate Banking Committee, asked the commission to limit future crypto ETF applications. And as Alexander Grieve points out, the success of the Bitcoin spot products clearly ruffling some feathers on the Hill. Senator Jack and LaFonza write to the SEC urging no further ETPs, which are exchange traded products, for other tokens. Example, Ethereum. Now, make life difficult for the brokers and advisors that recommend the Bitcoin ETPs. And following the approval of the 11 spot Bitcoin ETFs, which officially began and launched on January 11th, roughly 2 months out, the attention of the crypto public has somewhat turned to whether the SEC will do the same for the Ethereum versions. However, this latest letter from the Senate seems to further hurt the chances of the Ether ETF approval. So let me know your thoughts, family. Are we likely to see an Ethereum ETF sometime this year, or do you think they will not allow that? And you already know, even after Gensler had to approve the Bitcoin spot, he's still bashing it, right? And let's dive into our next story of the day, shall we? Let's discuss this $300,000 Bitcoin price target by none other than Rich Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, the man who claims he owns 66 Bitcoins. That's right. Quoting him here from a recent tweet on X, Bitcoin on fire. The biggest mistake you can make is to procrastinate. Important to start, even if only for $500. Next stop, $300,000 per British Columbia. Joking, family, per Bitcoin. He just uses BC instead of BTC for whatever reason. He's a boomer. You got to give it to him. But let me know your thoughts. If you feel we can hit $300,000 per coin this year, year of the halving, 2024, I see it very doable. Personally, will it happen? I don't know. I don't know if we hit the cycle peak this year or next year. That's why I want to know your thoughts. Let me know in the chat. Kiyosaki believes Bitcoin's limited supply gives the top performing digital asset an edge over his two other favorite investments, silver and gold. Quoting him here, I love gold and silver. I own gold and silver mines. The problem with gold and silver is that the higher the prices go, the more gold and silver is found. I wonder why. Manipulation of the market to suppress the price. Same with oil. I own oil wells also. That is not true with Bitcoin. No matter how high the price of Bitcoin goes, there will only ever be 21 million ever. It's going up forever, Laura. That's why I love Bitcoin. And he makes a fantastic point. The difference between precious metals and Bitcoin is the difference between relative scarcity and true scarcity. What makes Bitcoin perfect money is true scarcity. No form of money in human history has ever existed with true scarcity, with a finite limited supply. So with gold, how do they suppress the markets? They just dig more out of the ground every year. They don't want gold to reach escape velocity like Bitcoin has. Why? Everyone would remove their fiat monopoly money, tulip bulb fiat, out of the bank and put it into gold and crash the banks. They don't want that. So they suppress the prices. And major banks like JP Morgan Chase have paid fines upwards of $900 million getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar, red-handed, spoofing these precious metal markets. That's why you can't trust bankers and you can't trust these precious metals. The author also believes that an economic collapse is on the horizon, in part due to the massive debt of the United States. I think the debt is currently like $34 trillion. He thinks a safe haven in the event of the stock market crash is in gold, silver, and Bitcoin. I only agree with one third of that analogy. I think the safe haven is truly only in Bitcoin because all the rest can be confiscated. We can't forget about the Gold Seizure Act of 1933, but I digress. Quoting Rich Dad, baby boomers bust. Tragically, biggest bubble in history will wipe out the baby boomers because the boomers are the first generation with a flimsy 401ks. Tell them stock market's set to crash. Time to get real is now. Buy real assets, gold, silver, and Bitcoin before the biggest bubble in history goes bust. Don't be scared. Be prepared. US debt, $34 trillion. That's right. Debt increasing by $1 trillion every 90 days. That's nuts. Every 3 months, another trillion of debt. Just like that. America is sick. Preach. Prepare now. Buy more gold, silver, and biddies, aka Bitcoin. So there you have it, family. Let me hear your thoughts on Rich Dad and his $300,000 Bitcoin price prediction for 2024. Holla. But anyways, family, now let's dive into our feature story of the day and discuss a $700,000 price prediction. My apologies on screen. I don't know why I forgot to update it from yesterday's stream where it was $150,000 prediction. But today we're talking about a $700,000 prediction for Bitcoin. Send it and let's get it. So this dude right here, Joe Burnett. I've been watching his videos. They're actually quite informative. I watched this video this morning before I set up the podcast, and I said, let's discuss this. And here's what he wrote. I still admire Plan B's stock-to-flow model. The model is not perfect, but the principles behind the stock-to-flow and the halvings hold water. $700,000 Bitcoin within 12 to 18 months after the 2024 halving isn't just wishful thinking. It's entirely plausible. Here's why. Now, first and foremost, let's touch upon the stock to flow. The stock to flow model ultimately tells us Bitcoin will be hovering between $100,000 per coin and $1 million per coin post-2024 halving leading up to the next halving in 2028. Now, Joe Burnett, he created his own model because that's what he does, but it's based off the stock to flow. And he talks about the multiplier effect. And then we have Samson Mao, who talks about the multiplier effect, the Veblen effect. So I want to touch upon all this stuff. But yeah, and if you haven't watched this, you got to check it out. And I'll include a link in the show notes below the video in the description so you can watch the full 7-minute breakdown of how he came to this conclusion that it's very plausible that Bitcoin hit 700,000 12 to 18 months after this halving, which would ultimately mean by this cycle peak before the end of 2025. Now, Samson Mao says, I think this year we'll hit a million. So let's discuss this as well. He was recently interviewed by Peter McCormick on the What Bitcoin Did podcast. So I want to break some of this down for you. So yeah, he says, I think this year we hit a million. If not this year, then next year, but it is coming very soon. Mao pointed out that the demand for Bitcoin is significantly outpacing the supply, with ETFs alone pulling in around 3,500 to 4,000 Bitcoins per day, which is 1.4 million Bitcoin per year, while the exchanges hold approximately only 2.2 million Bitcoin. So that answers our question from earlier. Someone asked JV, how many Bitcoin are left on the exchanges? And I said, probably close to 2 million. Well, it's 2.2 million approximately. And he believes that this will rapidly drain the pool of available Bitcoins. Now, another thing we got to consider that Joe Burnett points out is the majority of the Bitcoin is in the hands of the long-term hodlers, over 80%. That means Bitcoin, which is not going to move and probably not going to be sold. Now let's discuss the concept of the Veblen effect, shall we? It suggests that as Bitcoin becomes more valuable, it'll become more desirable due to its perceived value. Facts, a great way to sum that up, FOMO. When Bitcoin hits all-time highs entering price discovery, retail loves that for whatever reason. When Bitcoin's correcting at a great, you know what I mean, buy the dip opportunity, they just brush it off. That's just the nature of human beings, I guess. But anyways, he believes that once Bitcoin reaches parity with gold's market cap, an estimated at 450,000 to 500,000 per Bitcoin, it'll cross a crucial threshold and begin to demonetize gold. I agree with that 100%. Here's why JV thinks we will demonetize gold. Because Bitcoin's superior. It is the apex predator and gold is inferior. And I don't need to get crazy with a list of all the reasons why, but the first thing that comes to my mind, one is confiscatable, the other is unconfiscatable. One is relatively scarce, the other is truly scarce. That's all you need to know. Keep it simple, family. But anyways, quoting Samson Mao from the interview, once you cross the Veblen threshold, you start to demonetize the gold because now this thing is gold. It's multi-trillion dollars. We're already trillion, but like 8 to 12 trillion market cap. And someone confirmed with me on yesterday's pod, it's actually right now 14.5 trillion roughly estimated for the gold market cap. But anyways, then you start to eat into gold because people see it as equivalent to gold. It's the new gold. Let me correct him. Gold is the poor man's Bitcoin. That's a quote from Max Keiser, by the way, and I truly believe that. Now, Mao anticipates that media narratives will support this notion, further driving the shift from gold into Bitcoin. His prediction comes at a time when institutional interest in Bitcoin is at an all-time high, with major corporations and financial institutions adding crypto to their balance sheet. And as we all know, there is a halving event taking place in roughly 30 days. It will occur sometime in April. That's right around the corner. Many people believe we can hit 100,000 by the time of that halving. Keeping in mind, we just had a $20,000 monthly candle in the shortest month out of the year, which is historically a more bearish month. So we all know anything is possible. One more $30,000 candle for the month, game on, six figures. Just like that. Now, in a recent thread, Samson Mao shared his thoughts on the potential approval of the Ether ETF by the SEC. He believes that regardless of the outcome, both approval and rejection scenarios are mega bearish for Ethereum. Mao argues that the SEC has footgunned themselves by approving the ETH futures alongside Bitcoin futures, which rationally necessitates the approval of the Ether spot ETF for the same reasons as the Bitcoin one. Quoting Samson Mao here, I'm going to read you the first tweet from March 11th and then the follow-up tweet. The SEC footgunned themselves by approving the Ether futures along with the Bitcoin futures, which means rationally they need to approve the Ether spot ETF for the same reasons as the Bitcoin one. However, this opens up a big can of worms because ETH is a security. Ethereum ETF approvals are further complicated by staking. What kind of commodity generates a yield? He makes a great point. I also agree, and I've been calling it from day one, since Ether switched from proof of work, such as the same protocol as Bitcoin, to proof of stake, what do you think the SEC is going to deem them? More than likely, an unregistered security, but then again, there's ETHgate, and you just never know because they decided to go after XRP out of all the, you know, cryptocurrencies out there, so I'm just saying, but I digress. Nonetheless, what kind of commodity ETH prints 70% of its supply out of thin air? What kind of commodity ETH tweaks? Can I say twerks? Why not? Its own monetary policy at will. Good luck, Gary. And he makes a good point. These are all red flags on why the regulators are most likely to deem Ethereum a security. Unregistered security versus a commodity. Bitcoin is the only commodity. Bitcoin is perfect money. And there's nothing else that will ever be able to say the same. Mao questions the nature of the commodity that generates a yield, which is a good point, and prints 70% of its supply out of thin air and twerks, JV says, twerks its own monetary policy at will. Additionally, Mao believes that the current price appreciation of Ethereum is purely speculative, driven by crypto traders as Ethereum insiders hoping for the ETF approval rather than genuine capital inflows. He predicts that if an Ethereum spot ETF is not approved, speculators will sell, while if it's approved, existing hodlers will sell, and no one will buy due to the ETF structurally defective nature, as it would not provide staking yields and would incur management fees, resulting in an automatic loss of 5-6% every year for the ETF shareholders. So there you have it, family. Let me know your thoughts on the $700,000 Bitcoin price prediction from Joe Burnett and the $1 million price prediction for this year, for this cycle, by Samson Mao. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. HODL.